Welcome to Torah Imecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perek Chaf Aleph, Chapter 21. As the last chapter drew to a close, we witnessed the emotional parting between David and Yehonatan. Yehonatan, having confirmed Shaul's unyielding determination to kill David, demonstrated his absolute acceptance of the will of Hashem and support for David as the rightful successor to the throne, and he facilitated David's escape. This was a painful choice for Yehonatan, who loved his father and acted with constant awareness of the rift that his behavior would cause in the father-son relationship. We saw the emphasis on the word, "my father, your father, my father," throughout the perek. He also recognized that this meant the loss of his own position, but the nobility of his spirit led him to act with spiritual integrity, placing the will of Hashem and his love for his friend above his own personal concerns. Following this emotionally charged leave-taking, which David and Yehonatan both knew might be the last time they saw one another, Yehonatan returned to the city, while David fled southward. And this marks the beginning of a period of exile for David, during which he will repeatedly be forced to seek sanctuary as Shaul pursues him relentlessly. He begins his travels alone, but as time passes and his flight from Shaul takes him from place to place, he slowly begins to gain support from certain elements of the nation, as we will see. At the moment, however, as our parak opens up, his journey is a solitary one. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Vayavod David Nove Elav Achimelech HaKohen, Vayecherad Achimelech Likrat David, Vayormelo, Madua Ata Levadecha, Ve'ish Einitach. David came to Nov, to where the Mishkan, the sanctuary, had been relocated after the destruction of Shiloh, to Achimelech, the Kohen, the priest. Achimelech hurried anxiously to greet David, saying, "Why are you alone? Why is no one accompanying you?" Achimelech was certainly surprised to see David, the king's son-in-law, traveling alone. If he were on some military mission on Shaul's behalf, he would have troops under his command. And if he were on some other royal mission assigned to him by Shaul, he would certainly have had some sort of royal escort. Pasuk Gimel, Vayomer David la'achimelech ha-kohen. Ha-melech tzivani davar. Vayomer elai, ish al yeida mi'uma et ha-davar asher anochi sholechacha. Va'asher tzibiticha. Ve'atane arim yodati al mekom ploni almoni. David said, "The king ordered me on a mission, and he said to me that no one may know anything about the matter regarding which I am sending you and have commanded you. Therefore, I directed my attendants to such and such a place." Mishbitzot Zahav cites Rav Moshe David Vali, who explains that although at face value, David's response seems deceptive, on a deeper level, he's telling the truth. Hashem, the King of Kings, had commanded him in the matter of the kingship, but it was necessary to conceal that mission at the present time. David didn't want to endanger Achimelech. He felt that it would be much better for him later, if he were to be questioned by Shaul, that he could say in all honesty that he had no idea that he was harboring a fugitive from the king. This does reflect that David knew that he was potentially putting Achimelech in danger, and that he definitely needed to take precautions. David, who had been hiding in the field for 3 days prior to his flight, was starving, and he asked Achimelech for provisions. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, Ve'ata, ma yesh tachat yadcha? Chamisha lechem? Tna biyadi o hanimtza? Now, what do you have on hand? 5 loaves of bread? Give them to me, or whatever you have available. Abarbanel notes that the number 5 is special to David, and that's why he would have singled out 5 loaves of bread, since it represents Chamisha Chumshei Torah, the 5 books of the Torah, corresponding to which David wrote the 5 books of Tehillim, Psalms. We may remember that when he was preparing to confront Goliath, David took with him 5 stones from the riverbed, further indication that this number has special significance for David. The Kohen responded that the only bread he had available was the Lechem HaPanim, the showbread, which was about to be removed from the Shulchan, the table in the Mishkan, and replaced with fresh loaves, as it was each week. Since the bread was sanctified, it could only be eaten by one who was ritually pure, and David assured him that that would not be a problem, so Achimelech gave him the loaves he had requested. We are now introduced to one of the most infamous characters in Tanakh. He is numbered among the villains to such a degree that the Gemara in Sanhedrin 90a mentions him along with Bilam and Achitophel as the only three commoners who lost their share in the world to come. He does not play an active role in this perek. We're merely informed here that he was on the scene, which will become significant as the story progresses in the next chapter. Pasuk chet v'sham ish me'avdei Shaul b'yom hahu ne'etzar lifnei Hashem u'shmo do'eg ha'edomi abir haro'im asher l'Shaul. There on that day was one of Shaul's servants, this is verse 8, who lingered before Hashem. His name was Doeg Ha'edomi. He was the chief of Shaul's shepherds. Many of the commentators note that Doeg is introduced with the formula Ushmo Doeg. His name was Doeg, rather than the other way around. Doeg was his name. And this formula usually indicates righteousness, as we just read in Megillat Esther, Ushmo Mordechai. His name was Mordechai. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 106b resolves the apparent contradiction with what we said earlier from the same Gemara, that he was denied his share in the world to come because of his wickedness. So how could he be mentioned here as if he's a righteous man? The Gemara states that Doeg's learning was superficial. He was a great scholar. In his day, Bayom Hahu, the Pasuk says, Bayom Hahu Ne'etzar Lifnei Hashem, on that particular day, he had not yet shown himself to be anything other than an outstanding scholar. But it will soon become apparent that his intellectual acumen did not yield the desired character refinement to which Torah learning ought to lead. He did not internalize the messages of the Torah, which led him to sin and punishment. The Gemara states that he was called Doeg, which means worry, because Hashem worried that he would stray from the Torah and embark on an evil path. The Midrash offers many suggestions as to the meaning of the appellation Edomi, many of which share the common denominator that it refers to bloodshed. Edom is associated with Esav, and Esav, we learned, was the Admoni, because he spilled blood. So Doeg was associated with the same kind of behavior as Esav. He was the one who advised Shaul against killing Agag. He incited Shaul against David, claiming that he was unworthy of the kingship since he was descended from Moab through his great-grandmother Ruth, and he called for David's blood to be spilled. We may remember we were puzzled by the conversation in which Shaul failed to recognize David as he came back from killing Goliath. There, Chazal say that it was Doeg who planted suspicion in his mind against David, saying, who is this? Who is his father anyway? Who is he descended from? Who does he think he is? And perhaps the most serious accusation against Doeg, he will be responsible for the spilling of innocent blood as our story continues to unfold. He is called the Abir Haroim of Shaul, the chief of his shepherds, which Rashi explains as the head of the judges of the Sanhedrin, the spiritual shepherds of Israel. That's how high he had risen because of his outstanding scholarship. And unfortunately, from a high place, the fall is even more profound. Having established Doeg's presence, the narrative then returns to the conversation between David and Achimelech, the Kohen. Now that David is provided with food, he seeks to fill another void, his lack of weapons with which to defend himself. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Vayomer HaKohen, Cherev Goliath HaPlishti Asher Hikita Be'emek Ha'ila, Hinehi Lutav HaSimla Acharei Ha'ifod. Im Otak Tikach Lacha, Kach, Ki En Acheret Zulata, Baze, Vayomer David, En Kamoha Tnenali. Perhaps you might have here a spear or a sword, for I did not take my sword or weapons with me since the matter of the king was urgent. And Achimelech replied, the sword of Goliath, whom you slew in Emek Ha'ilah, is hidden here behind the ephod. If you wish to take it, for there is none other than that one. And David replied, there is none other like it. Give it to me. Radzak explains that Achimelech was a little bit hesitant to give the sword to David, but he had no choice but to let David take it, since after all, he was the one who had seized it from Goliath. The Midrash, based on the Aramaic Targum, teaches that the phrase Acharei Ha'ephod, behind the garments worn by the Kohanim, implies that Achimelech gave the sword to David only after inquiring of Hashem through the Urim v'Tumim, which were attached to the ephod, the apron of the Kohen Gadol, and receiving a positive answer. David now continued his flight from Shaul, leaving the borders of Eretz Yisrael and arriving in Gat, the land of the Plishtim. Why would he have sought refuge in Gat, having killed their hero only a short time before? Da'at Sofrim offers two possibilities. Either he thought he could remain anonymous, for at that time there were a number of Israelites who sought refuge in the land of the Plishtim. We had learned about this earlier, when many of those who had previously sought sanctuary from the Plishtim, out of fear, joined Yonatan's army when they were courageously fighting the Plishtim. But that might have been a one-time phenomenon, and the trend of people moving into Philistine territory seeking security might have resumed. That's Da'at Sofrim's first suggestion. Alternatively, David might have thought that he could convince the Plishtim that they could trust him, since they now shared a mutual enemy in Shaul. However, Pasuk Yud Bet, verse 12, Vayomru Avdei Achish Elav. Halo ze David, melech ha'aretz, halo laze ya'anu v'amcholot lemor hikash Shaul ba'alafav, v'David b'rivivotav. Some servants of Achish, whom the Midrash identifies as the brothers of Goliath, who sought to have him put to death to avenge their brother's death, apparently did recognize David, and they brought him before Achish, saying, "Is this not David, king of the land, about whom they sing and say Shaul has slain thousands and David tens of thousands? They brag how many Plishtim David has killed, and now here he is in our hands." David took their words to heart, and he greatly feared Achish, king of Gat. Pasuk Yodalid, verse 14, Vayitolel biadam, Vayetav al daltot hashar vayored riroels kano. David changed his demeanor in their eyes, and he acted like a madman while he was in their presence. He scribbled nonsense on the doors of the gateway and dribbled saliva onto his beard. And Achish said to his servants, "Behold, the man is mad. Why have you brought him to me?" Implying, this can't possibly be David. Pasuk Tet Zayin 16, Chasar meshuga imani? Ki hevetem et zel yishtagea alai? Hazeh yavo el biti? Do I lack madmen that you have brought him to carry on madly before me? Shall I bring such one as this into my house? While the chapter ends here, the verse in Tehillim, chapter 34, verse 1, Lamed Dalet Aleph, composed by David at that time, gives us the conclusion of the story. LeDavid b'shanoto et ta'amo lifnei Avimelech v'yegarshehu v'yelach. When David changed his demeanor before Avimelech, king of Gat, and he chased him away, and he left. Radak suggests that Achish is referred to as Avimelech here because that was a title used by all the kings of Gat, similar to Paro in Mitzrayim. The psalm that follows this introduction is a beautiful alphabetical acrostic praising Hashem for his salvation of those who are sincerely devoted to him, expressing the deep gratitude David felt to Hashem for his quick escape from the hands of the Plishtim. Thank you for learning together Li'ilui Nishmot Imhotenu Hayekarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, both deeply, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.